Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Vic.
So this morning I'm going to talk about the New Jerusalem, the city of the great King. You know, the world has an eternal city that they call Rome, the Eternal City. But the eternal city is not Rome, it's Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. The world has one thing, but Jerusalem is the other thing. So is the real thing. So in the book of Revelation 1-3, we read, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." I want to again give credit to R. Stedman and Owen Burgess. I just thank you, Father, for your word, and that your word is true, and that we can, you know, even as we've seen this morning, the earth declares that your word is true. The archaeological digs declare that your word is true, Lord, and we can stand on that. And we just thank you for your word. Father, as we go through the word today, just let it illuminate us, Lord God, and give us a sense and a surety of where we're going and where we're going to spend eternity with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this isn't really the text I'm preaching from today, but I thought I'd start out this way, because last couple of times I preached on the fall and decline of a situation, of a society, and it's got a lot of downsides in it. And you know, so I thought I'd go to the other end of the scale and see what happens when everything is restored. You know, when God brings everything through to its fruition, it's actually called the restoration of all things. And we see it in Acts 3:21. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, and as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Now, the book of Revelation is the only word in the Bible that says, if you read this book, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And so you should read the book. I know it's hard to understand, but like everything, we pray and God will show us. We get some commentaries and God will show us, you know. And as you read the book of Revelation, you'll see first of all, you see Christ in heaven and the churches, and then you'll see a series of awful punishments. And then at the end, the last two glorious passages, we see the new heavens and the new earth. You know, sometimes when you read the book, I know you can get sort of a bit down on it, but when you get to the end, it just picks you up, because that is where we're going to be, you know. And John on the Isle of Patmos, in the Spirit, on the Lord's Day, got this incredible revelation of what was going to happen at the end of time. And sure, he was going to see some disasters and things happen, but then he sees a new heaven and a new earth and a new city called the heavenly Jerusalem. You know, writing this when I was doing this, it took me back to 2006 when we came to Israel our first time. Now when we go, we arrive 7 o'clock in the morning, we go, we hop on the bus, we go into Tel Aviv, we do Joppa, and we do, then we go to the other areas, we go to the Galilee, up to the north, and then to the Dead Sea, and then into Jerusalem. But this was our first time we came, and we got there, it was about midnight or something. And we got onto the bus, and they took us from Ben Gurion Airport to Jerusalem, which is the opposite of what we do. Normally, Jerusalem is last. But because it was 2006 and we got there so close to Christmas, they wanted us in Jerusalem at that time. So we got off the airport, onto the bus, and they drove us to Jerusalem. Because it was winter and it was that dark, we couldn't see anything. So we got into our hotel, which was the Jerusalem Gold. It was about, probably two. And they had this unruly mob of American Jews there, young ones. And I know they really got on my wick because they were swearing. And I thought, you're Jews, you shouldn't do that. I didn't know that. They're just normal, like. And then they gave us something to eat and gave us a coffee, and we went to sleep, and I didn't see anything. But you know what? When I woke up in the morning and I opened those curtains in the hotel room, and there before me was the city of the great king, it just blew my mind. There is nothing like it. Open up, and there you are in Jerusalem, and there you see these little Jews running around where they've got their things on the side, and they've got their heads on, you know, the hats on, and they got their heads on, we got heads on too. And it was just amazing, something I will never forget. It just blows your mind, because not only is it a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing. You're home. And whenever we come to Israel, we think we're home. And the Jews sort of can't really understand that, that we've got a spiritual connection, you know. So I opened up the curtain, and the Jerusalem is glorious. It's glorious, but nothing compared to the glory we're going to see in the new Jerusalem, which is outstanding, you know. And I'm going to look at that in a while. As I said, the last few weeks of preaching, I've looked at the decline of the world situation. As the world is trying to do its own utopia, it's going backwards. But when God brings us into the real utopia, it's going to be magnificent. It's going to be awesome, you know. The book of Genesis tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis describes a beautiful picture of a paradise that was lost. You know, there was Adam was there, and he was living with the animals, and the animals weren't biting him or anything like that. It was awesome. And God's two children were living with him. I don't know how long before the fall came, but there was a time that Adam and Eve were just in perfect communion with God, you know. And that's going to happen again. In the Bible, you don't really find much about what we call the eternal state. The eternal state is when we come after the Lord's 1,000-year reign, and then when he restores things. You don't see much of that in the Bible. You don't really, it doesn't tell us much, especially in the Old Testament. It doesn't say a lot about the heavens and the earth. But in the New Testament, in chapter 20 onwards, after the white throne judgment, we get a picture of a new heaven and a new earth that spring into being. I think that's amazing. How is God going to do that? And when he does that, where are we going to be? It's exciting. So let's get into it a bit this morning. Revelation 21, 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." You know, very often we quote this in at funerals. You know, there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more dying, no more tears. But it shouldn't be. I've done that many more times. But it's not only for funerals. It's for now, to encourage ourselves where we're going to be with our God forever and ever. I mean, it's amazing. And the loved ones who've gone before us, we're going to be with them. And I think, you know, we need to encourage ourselves, because that's where we're going to go. That's why we put up with all the rubbish and the heartaches and all the things. We put up with that because we know one day we're going to be with him. And I know we've all got plans. I've got plans to have more grandchildren and to do certain things still in my life. But doesn't matter if it's next year or the year after or the year after or whenever. One day this is going to be true. Just as I'm standing here, it's going to be true. We're going to be there. I think that's amazing. It is. Like, it's not a pipe dream. It's not. You know, it's a real thing. It's amazing. as I said, it brings us full circle. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. But sin marred things, and things have gone downwards. You know, last week I said about, was it last week? About how the scientists, they think if an asteroid comes, they're going to blow it up. Do you know there's one went 25,000 or something? About the quarter of the distance between the Earth and the Moon, and they didn't even know it till it went past. It's amazing, isn't it? Man thinks they are so smart. And they are, because they're created in the image of God. But, you know, sin has marred things. But the Bible tells us that one day this old world is going to be passed away. And it's not going to be by flood. It's going to be by fire. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The Passion says, the day of the Lord will come and take everyone by surprise, as unexpected as a home invasion. The atmosphere will be set on fire and vanish with a horrific roar, and the earthly bodies will melt. Heavenly bodies will melt as in a tremendous blaze, and the earth and activity of every man will be laid bare. So we'll see there will come a time when the first heavens, the old heavens, will be renewed. They'll pass away. Now, I think the fire talks about purifying. You know, all the sin and all the things that have happened in the world will purify. So whether we're going to have a new earth completely created or whether it's this earth and the heavens purified by fire and then redone, I don't know. We'll find out. But I tell you what, this new heaven and earth and this new Jerusalem will be better than any 8K TV can make it look. It'll be something that'll blow our minds. The picture behind us is when we went, there's a church called St. Anne. It's in the old city, and it's got the most marvellous acoustics you could ever have. And when we got there, there was this group of, I think it was Nigerians there, praising and worshipping in the way only they can. And even little children, I don't know where you can see, there's little children on the ground worshipping. And our guide, he just stood in amazement. It was amazing. They really know how to worship, I can tell you. So do we, but they do it in a different way. So the whole earth will change. Everything will change. Every trace of death will be removed. Every trace of sin will be removed. A new universe will be born. Like I said, some say it might be a new heavens and a new earth. Others just a renovated one. You know, like they do the reno shows on TV. God will do his own reno show with the universe, and they'll be back to what they were originally meant to be, and even more. And all of man's potential, all of heaven's potential, all of earth's potential will be back where it should be. And it'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. You'll see a lion come up and you say, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Awesome. But Satan and sin have marred things, but God's going to bring that all back. You know, it's strange that heaps of today, knowledge has increased so much. Heaps and heaps and heaps. And you know, I think I'm about 30 years behind of what a computer can do. I have a computer. I can do a certain amount. I can do the PowerPoints and I can do some sermon preparation. But I think I've probably untapped 90% of it is untapped. And I see some what our girls do when they teach at school and what they can do. I think, show me so I can use it. But and that's like that. The man's knowledge, as much as we know, God knows much more. You know, and we think we're so great. But there's one thing that hasn't changed is the heart of man. As Jeremiah 17:9 says, it is still deceitful above all things. So they have new technology and it can be used for good, but it can also be used for new ways of sinning. Now, we have a thing called the dark web. Now, I don't know much about it, but I think it's called the dark web for a certain reason. And you can buy all sorts of things there. But it's only God can change the heart. And it's only God can change this creation back to what it once was. And he does it. Funny thing, we get born again by his Spirit. And it's like the creation gets born again by his Spirit as he refines it and he makes it new. And I tell you what, when I was doing this, I was getting excited because I think, I am actually going to be there one day. Yeah, and so will you. And maybe we can remember this message. Then you come up and say, well done, Pastor. And then after God creates the heavens and the earth and it's all purified and it's all done really well, then he concentrates on a place called the New City, the heavenly Jerusalem. And it comes down from heaven like a bride prepared for her bridegroom. And some say it must be an orbiting city, maybe in the Earth's atmosphere, because it's fairly big. It's bigger than Israel. It's part of Israel. It's about 1,500 miles square, I think. So unless God changes the new Earth and the Israel is bigger, can put in it, or it could be like an orbiting city in the Earth's atmosphere where we can go up and down. We'll see. As you look at the cities of the world, some of them look really nice. And they have their own glory and they have their own power, just as the cities of man, you know. Pastor Robin and I have been fortunate enough to go and see a few cities in the world. And when you go on a Cosmos tour and a Trafalgar tour, they take you to these cities, but they always take you to the good places. You never see the drug places, you never see the slums, you never see the downside. They'll take you to the good places. So you always think that the cities are nice, but they've all got their downside. All got their downside, got their dark side. But the New Jerusalem will have no downside. It will have no dark side. It will have no slums. It'll be really good. I've got a picture later on I'll show you of the house that God's prepared for me to mention in the New Jerusalem. I put it up there, but you'll have to wait for that, you know. So, you know, I remember once we went to Egypt, and one of the guys and his wife who were on tour with us, they went and got a taxi, and they said to the taxi driver, how much we will give you if you will take us to a places that no one ever sees. And then they seen the slums and they seen the things and they seen that what was really, really there. But the Jerusalem is a marvellous city, the New Jerusalem. No dark side there. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Don't tweet this, that I said this, because I might be banned from watching The Crows. Like his... No dark side, only God and his people in a renewed heaven and a new earth. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We are told this is God's home. This is his dwelling place. And we have mansions there to be with him and be with him forever. That's amazing. It really is. It's a beautiful paradise, better than Hawaii, better than all these places. And there'll be no more tears, no more death, no more crying. You think, oh, Lord. Don't you ever get sick of this earth sometimes? Sometimes you do. Sometimes you think, all that's going on, you know, you see people killed in accidents and young children, all sorts of things happen. You think, Lord, one day it's not going to be like that anymore. That'll be the end of that stuff. So the Bible says that in his presence is joy forevermore. So we're going to be in his presence forevermore and we're going to have joy. I got joy this week because the Crows won for once, but this is going to be forevermore, evermore. And that's exciting, isn't it, Jill? It is. Amen. And one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. You know, I used to have a show on TV called The Brides of Christ. It's about some nuns. Well, they might be. But we are the brides of Christ. We are. Even men. I don't think we'll have to wear veils and stuff like that. This is what R. Stedman writes. The New Jerusalem is called a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Everyone loves that picture. We all love weddings. The climax is when the bride comes down the aisle, beautifully dressed for her husband. Everyone forgets the poor fellow waiting for her at the altar. Every eye is on the bride because she has prepared herself for weeks to meet her husband there. The new city is called both a city and a bride. A bride speaks of intimacy and a city speaks of community. We will all have intimacy with our God and with each other, you know. And so the New Jerusalem is presented as a bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, a powerful picture of a renewed relationship between God and his people. I mean, we have some of it now. You know, sometimes when we have worship, we can enter into the worship and you can almost feel like you're there. But it's only a little fraction of a time and only a fraction of what it's going to be like there. And like I said, it's no fairy tale, it's no pipe dream. It's an absolute truth. If we're born again, we're going to be there. There's a song we used to sing. We All Dance, it's called, by Vineyard. Sing a song of celebration. Lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And oh, we will look on his face, we'll go to a much better place. Dance with all your might, lift up your hands and clap for joy. The time is drawing near when he will appear, and oh, we'll stand by his side, a strong, pure, spotless bride. We will dance on the streets that are golden, the glorious bride and the great Son of Man. From every tribe, tongue and tribe and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. Sing aloud, for the time of rejoicing is near. The risen King, our groom, is soon to appear. The wedding feast to come is now near at hand. Lift up your voice and proclaim the coming of the Lamb. We will dance on streets that are golden, glory and honour, glory and honour, glory and honour forever. What an awesome song. You know, sometimes I think we sing these things and we don't realise how prophetic they really are. An awesome time of intimacy with us and our bridegroom, our King. And it's pictured here on earth in the ceremony between a husband and a wife. It's a picture, a shadow of things that are to come. And we saw last week, I shared how marriage is a sacred experience, you know, and it's going to be the same with our bridegroom, and we're going to spend all eternity with him. I think that's amazing. And I think that really helps us keep on going. Because times are hard sometimes, they are, you know, and it's good to know where we're going. It's good when you finally buy your own house on this earth. And it's nice and it's good. But it's nothing like the, and we don't have to buy that one. It's been bought for us by the precious blood of Jesus. So the heavenly place, Jerusalem, is the dwelling place of God with his people. There's an interesting scripture in John, and we read this as well. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. I wonder if this Father's house isn't the New Jerusalem. And as it comes down, we have our rooms in the New Jerusalem. You know, God spoke and he created the heavens and the earth with one word. But Jesus has been there for 2,000 years preparing this place. How awesome is that going to be? How awesome is that going to be? Of course, I'm going to have a bigger mansion than all of you, but you won't be envious there. Maybe I'll end up with a little shanty now. Because that's where we're going to live with our bridegroom. Oops, okay, let me try it again. church, Ephesians 5:27, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be reunited to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Yes, as a husband and wife become one, and they live together on this earth till death do they part. We will live together with our King forever and ever and ever and ever, because there will be no more death. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, let's move on. Revelation 21:9-14. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had grey high walls with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There are some glorious cities in the world, but the world has never seen anything like this. It is going to be something amazing. They can't create it now, even with all the technology they've got. You know, you watch some things on TV and it's like amazing what they've created, but this will just outshine all of that. An amazing, glorious city. It has a high wall with 12 gates. Maybe the walls speak of intimacy and protection. And the gates, of course, are where you go in and out. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever comes through me will be saved." They will come out, go in and out, and find pasture. I think when God creates the new heavens and the earth and the new cosmos, it's going to be absolutely brilliant. And I think he's going to want us to see it. So we'll be able to go in and out of these gates, and we'll go and be able to explore all these wonderful things. It'll be amazing. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has made for us, but has been revealed to us by his Spirit. And then we shall see the awesome things he's made. And it'll take all eternity to see it. And who knows, by then he might be creating some more things. You know, it's amazing. We'll have an eternity to see all this thing. So we won't be sitting up there on harps. And you know, it says there'll be rest, but rest from sin and all that sort of stuff. We'll still be doing things. We'll still be going places. And, you know, we'll be able to just be transported. You know, remember the show Beam Me Up, Spotty? Scotty? Who can remember that? Oh, you're old. I'll go to the young side. Translated. And we'll be able to go like Jesus did, in and out through walls. Awesome. I wish I could do that now, because I'd like to scare a few people. Yeah. But that's just me. I don't think that's why God wants you to have a translated body. Amazing. And we'll go and discover it. You know, the 12 tribes, the 12 gates were the tribes of Israel. Reminds us that salvation is of the Jews, because Jesus came through the Jewish line. The book is brought to us by the Jews. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the apostles and the Lamb. And you know, foundation is something that you build yourself on, and we built ourselves on the foundation of the Lamb and the apostles. The walls and gates could also represent the Old Testament saints who were faithful to God, because I think they'll live there. You know, and we'll live together on the new heavens and the new earth. The angel talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city and the rod and found it with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide as it was long. I think that's about 1,500 miles. The angel measured the wall using human measurement and was about 140 cubits thick. R. Stedman writes, when God measures something, it's a sign of his ownership. the number 12, which is everywhere in this account, 12,000 stadia, 140 cubic, which is 12 times 12, is a picture in scripture of the number of government. And remember, Isaiah 9:6 says the government will be on his shoulder. And this will happen. This will be the time the government will be on Jesus' shoulder. So whatever shape it is, some say it's a pyramid, some say it's a cube, some say it's a square. I don't care as long as I'm there. You know, it's going to be great. Imagine this. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated and with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each made of a single pearl. The great city of gold, was of gold, as transparent as glass. Like I said before, no eye has seen what God has prepared. Can you imagine this city? Let your imagination run wild. The street is pure gold that's transparent. Amazing. The walls are jasper. Imagine a diamond shining magnificently in the sun. And this is 10 times, many times, mind-blowing. The city walls and the gates are a kaleidoscope of colours that make the rainbow look pathetic. And the rainbow is a magnificent thing, because every time I see a rainbow, I go out and have a look at it, because it's magnificent. Because it's almost to me like a little look into the spiritual world. You know. The gates, all 12 of them, of a single pearl. Imagine the size of the oyster. You know, amazing. I got from the internet and it says, we all know how a pearl is formed. Natural pearls form when an irritant, usually a parasite, not the proverbial grain of sand, works its way into an oyster mussel, a clam. As a defense mechanism, a fluid is used to coat the irritant. Layer upon layer of this coating called nacre is deposited until a lustrous pearl is formed. Pearls speak of pain. Speak of pain. And this pearl in the oyster comes from that, as the irritant and the oyster fights against it and becomes a beautiful pearl. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who the pain he went through and what he went through on the cross and the shame of the cross, and he suffered it for us. You could say, in a way, in the parable, that Jesus paid the price for the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought. I always used to think that was us, and it probably is, but it's also true of Jesus. He sold everything he had. He left the glories of heaven, took upon himself, and went to the shame of a cross for the joy that was set before him was us and the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, we're getting near the end. I think that's the wrong one. Oh, no, hang on. Excuse me. Revelation 21:20. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon or the light on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk to it by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We see throughout the Bible a temple mentioned several times, but in the New Jerusalem there's no temple and there's no sun, because the Lamb and God are its light. they're just going to illuminate the place forever. You know, I'd seen a video of someone who died and went to heaven, and he said when he was in heaven, even the flowers were singing. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but it sounds good to me. And why wouldn't it, you know? Amazing. So there'll be no light, because there'll be nothing to be scared of. And then the gates will always be open, because there's nothing impure can enter it. A life of peace. Like years ago, we used to be able to leave our house unlocked. Not now, because if you come home, you mightn't find anything. It's amazing. It'll be never shut. There'll be no need for protection. Nothing impure, nothing evil will ever enter it, ever again. I think that is something that I'm looking forward to. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will be there any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of a sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. What a glorious picture of fertility, these plants giving life, and the river of life, the Spirit of God going everywhere, and, you know, illuminating us as well with the glory of God, because it says we will go from glory to glory. And when we're with him, we'll have that full glory. It'll be just amazing. And we can find a reference to both these things in the Old Testament. There is this river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. We're going to come to that. And Ezekiel 47 talks about the water coming from under the threshold of the temple. When the Lord comes back, he stands on the Temple Mount, and the earthquake opens it up, and water comes out from the temple, and it goes to the Mediterranean, that cleans out the Dead Sea, and it'll become fresh again. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both sides of the bank. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water of the sanctuary flows to them. The fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. This is going to be unbelievably fantastic, awesome, amazing place that is going to mind blow us all. You know, it's going to be amazing, and we ought to look forward to it. Look forward to it. You know, as I get older and older and older, I don't want to go before my time, but the earth is having less and less hold on. You know, because you've seen a few things, and you know, it's all good. But I want all of us to go into rapture, so we can all be there together. You know, it'll be amazing. But that's God's thing. But while we're on earth, on this dark place, we have to go through the things that are happening, and God is with us. And sometimes it's a dark place, but as we look forward to spending our time with Jesus, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. Now, I think I'm going to show you my place in heaven. Would you like to see it? You'll be very envious. You'll come and visit me all the time. Look at that. Chocolate forever. So you will want to come and see me, but I'll say go and get you. No, I won't. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. The world is getting darker in places, but we are to shine like the stars amongst the people. So they will say, what have you got? We want that. And then you can share Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. All that what I'm talking about today, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and the new earth, it's all about Jesus. It's all about spending time with Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom. And it's awesome. So while we're here, I suppose it's like walking down the aisle to till he comes, you know. But paradise was lost, and paradise will be regained. That's what the whole Bible is about. What was lost, God's going to regain, and we're going to be there. And I find that when I do something, this is never taught. I haven't heard much of this stuff, but it gives me faith to go and, you know, keep on doing what we need to do, you know, and to make sure that our children, our granddaughter, as much as we can, because praise God, our children and our sons-in-law, they're all Christians and they're all walking with the Lord. But we can still sow into them too and encourage them too, because they also go through different difficult times, and, you know, and pray for them and our grandchild. And how many more we're going to... I've already started to pray for our grandchild that when she's old enough, she'll make a decision for the Lord and walk with him all the days of her life and be used mightily for the kingdom of God. Pray that into her already, you know, and maybe the first word she speaks might be Jesus. But I don't think Jesus worries whether she says Ma or Dad or Papa. You know, I don't mind watching some of these Marvel things. You know, they're things, the marvellous things and the creations they come up with. But it's nothing compared to what we're going to see. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be there. And you're going to be there. And we just keep on keeping on. Yeah, it used to be an ad for British Paints. It used to say, keep on keeping on. And that's what we're going to do. It's called perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Walking with the Lord. You know, loving your family. Trying to reach others for the Lord. And just keep on keeping on till the bridegroom comes. Till we hear a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the Lord says, come up hither, and we go and be with him forevermore. Isn't that amazing? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So let's encourage each other. Let's encourage each other. We have got the best retirement plan in the world, and it goes forever. It's not one of those. It's one of those. You know. Because I sometimes think, well, by the time I retire, they might have squandered it or wasted it. And this is another thing I've started to pray. Lord, let me not lay up wood, hay and stubble, but let me lay up silver and gold and precious stones. Because hay, wood and stubble, the Bible says, will blow, get burnt away. But the things that are done for God will last forever and be awesome. And if we do that, then maybe I'll ask him when we get up there, can they have one like that as well? Who knows what we've got up there, but it's going to be amazing. Isn't it great? Are you encouraged? But if you want to come to our next tour on Israel, I can take you to that one for a start. We haven't worked out a tour yet, but we're still praying about it. We'll do one next year. Well, not be nice, but we'll just see what the Lord does. So you can get familiar with Jerusalem, but when you get the new one comes down, you know where you're at. Why don't you put your hands in front of you? Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Lord. I know that each and every one, you know, the Bible says we each have our own trials. We own have our own tribulations. We own have our own joys and we have our own sorrows, Lord. But Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would encourage each and one of my brothers and sisters, that they will know that despite the momentary affliction of this earth, they've got a wonderful, extraordinary place to spend eternity with you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.